story of Jonah. And Kinder, had a whale of a time, yeah. And Kinder got a big cardboard box and he'd drawn a big whale on it and he put a door in it and he got the kids to decorate it and he got the kids to go into the door of the whale and sit inside the whale while they were telling the story of Jonah and the whale. It was very good, very encouraging. But I thought, that's interesting because we were looking at Jonah last Sunday and we're looking at Jonah again. So this is the bit where Jonah's in the belly of the big fish. Chapter 2, could somebody read it for me? Yeah, would you be all right?
The whole chapter?
Yes, please.
From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, and said, In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From the depths of the grave, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the deep, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again towards your holy temple. The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. But you brought my life up from the pit, O Lord my God. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. But I, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I vowed, I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord. And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land.
Thank you, David. Psalm 18 says in verse 4, the cords of death entangled me. The torrents of destruction overwhelmed me. The cords of the grave coiled around me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress I called to the Lord. I cried my God for help. From his temple he heard my voice. My cry came before him into his ears. A prayer of deliverance is what Jonah is praying. A prayer of acknowledgement of who God is what Jonah is praying. You remember last week, God's character is shown in the book of Jonah, and the character of human beings is shown as well. The diverse and different character of human beings that do things that God doesn't expect them to do or ask them to do, and don't do things that God does expect them to do. Jonah is sent by God because God is distressed by people's wickedness. God is concerned by the wickedness of people still today, still concerned. And God sends a message to them through Jonah. But Jonah decides to go in the opposite direction. Jonah decides to say no to God and gets into a boat and hides in the hold of the boat until a storm comes up. When the storm comes up, the sailors that are in the boat are now aware that there is something powerfully happening that they have no control over, no ability to change, and they realise that there is something bigger than they are able to deliver themselves from. And so they pray out and they seek out what the reason is behind this. And they discover Jonah, wake Jonah up and say, do you know any idea why all this is happening? And Jonah says, I think it's my fault. And the sailors say, okay, what are we going to do about this? And the sailors try as hard as they can to save the ship. But in the end, Jonah says, look, the only way you'll be delivered is to sacrifice me and throw me into the sea to my fate. Jonah is prepared at this point to be their sacrifice, reminding us of the sacrifice that Jesus has made for us today. Jonah expects to be swallowed up by the sea and is instead swallowed up by a big fish, where he spends 3 days and three nights. Now, if you're unsure about the truth of this word, then take heart, take encouragement. Don't have any doubts about this. Why? Because Jesus Christ himself endorses the truth of these words. In Matthew 12 verse 40, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the earth. Jesus refers back to this event when speaking to people of his death and his resurrection. It's a little picture of the perfect sacrifice that Jesus made, that we have remembered this morning in our communion. When Jesus gave his life up at the cross to be the sacrifice, when he went into the deepest parts of the earth, as Jonah went into the deepest parts of the sea and into the deep darkness of the whale's body, so Jesus Christ went into the deepest parts of the earth and into hell itself in order to take the keys of death and hell and judgment from out of the hands of the devil for us. Here Jonah becomes a living reality of the truth that God would do later on by providing our deliverance. As a true prophet, his life prophesies, if you like, what Jesus was going to do. Jonah is in a dark place, literally here. No light, in the belly of the fish, when he cries out to God. We shouldn't think it strange to read about people who cry out to God. The Bible is full of people who cry out to God when they're in their deepest and darkest places. We know that today people cry out to God when they have no other options left, it seems, when they have descended so steeply that they have no other options left. Read the story of the Psalms, the story of Job, read the book of Lamentations. There are cries of distress that are constantly being made to God. Jonah is on a journey, as we've already said. He journeys into a ship. He goes into the hold of a ship, thinking he's going to be safe, thinking he's going to be secure. And then he goes from the hold of that ship into the hold of God in the belly of that fish. God was holding him in that place. Now, Jonah thought he was going to die. So he's really surprised that he's still alive. And now he realises he's alive. He doesn't know what's going to happen to him. Is he going to die in the belly of the fish? Or is something else going to happen? Jonah's really out of ideas at this point. He's in a place where he's confined, where he can't move. He's held in the hold of the ship in a place of guilt. And now he's held in a place of security by God. God has provided this fish. God has provided security, but God has restrained him, has not let him move on. That's an interesting and a significant point. God contains us sometimes in whatever that might be in order to get us to focus upon him and in order for him to speak more clearly to us. So Jonah knows he's safe, knows he's restricted, knows he's in the dark, can't see any future for his life, doesn't know what's going to happen to him, but knows he's been delivered by God. And Jonah turns to prayer. And Jonah turns to thanksgiving as well. Somebody says that the belly of this fish is significant because it's a reminder of two places, the womb and the tomb. The womb and the tomb. Jonah is uncertain, is he in the womb or is he in the tomb? Is he going to die here? Or is he going to somehow get new life? Is he going to be rebirthed, as it were? He doesn't know. This week I went to a bereavement training course, and it was quite interesting. It was just a little taster, I suppose, of bereavement counselling. It was talking about all the right things you should say and all the wrong things that we often do say in those circumstances. And an interesting thing was that the speaker said, I often get asked, what do you think happens when we die? What do you think happens to us when we die? And the speaker said, it's a great mystery, first of all, because nobody's ever come back and told us, have they? In our sort of lifestyle, in that sense. And this speaker personally believes this is what happens. In our lives, we have choices to believe God and to receive Jesus Christ as our Saviour and to be set free from our sin, or not to do that. But is there perhaps an opportunity of a confinement and a restriction that takes place just before death? In a moment before we pass, is there a place in which we are confronted with God? And in being confronted with God, we are given a choice again. Do you accept me? Do you accept who Jesus Christ is as my Saviour? Do you accept the truth of that in terms of salvation? Or are you going to continue to disregard me? And people will continue to disregard God. But some won't. Some won't. And that's the mystery. And that is also the choice that is presented at the point of death. And for me, this is where Jonah is. He's in the point of making a re-evaluation of the choices that he had made to this point. And he is very quick to recognise God. And he's basically saying, whatever happens to me here, whatever happens, if I die in this fish, I'm going to praise you. If I don't live from this experience, I don't care, because you are all that I need, and you are my God, and you are going to be honoured, and you are going to provide my salvation, and you are my God, the one that I'm going to follow. And it's that simple faith that Jonah is exercising at this point. In a similar way that people who we know don't have the advantages of good health, don't have the advantages of lots of money, don't have the advantage perhaps of much of a life left, that people say, it doesn't matter where I'm at, I know one thing, my Redeemer liveth. I know who God is. I am going to put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ as my Saviour. There is that point that some people come to through adversity and through difficulty where they make that decision. But there are people that have lived their whole lives without any natural advantages or any natural breaks, we would say, who are trusting simply in God and will trust in God as the light is getting dimmer in their lives. Great mystery, but truth. Jonah says, when my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, O Lord. And in Jonah's uncertainty, as I've already said, he chooses to praise God. I love it when he says at the end of verse 9, salvation comes from the Lord. Salvation comes from the Lord. If you can say that with confidence and conviction, you're going to be okay. You're going to be okay. Whatever you pass into, whatever's going to happen, you know you have been saved. And we today have come and expressed our faith and our trust in the salvation of the Lord. If your life is ebbing away, as far as you're concerned, can you say salvation is of the Lord? If opportunities to do things are not there anymore, are you still saying salvation belongs to the Lord? Or is your salvation dependent upon how fit you are, how healthy you are, how much you can do, how much opportunity you are seeing around you, how much life you feel that you've got left? Is that what flavours and characterises your salvation? You know, if things are going well for me, salvation belongs to the Lord. Things are difficult, well, I'm not so sure anymore. This is a really difficult place for Jonah, but he says, look, I don't care. Salvation belongs to the Lord. I trust him. It's a revealing book, is Jonah, about the character of God. And it's a revealing book about the character of human beings, isn't it? And Jonah is revealing a little bit more about himself. This character that we think we know is starting to reveal something that perhaps we didn't know about him. But the book shows the redemptive quality of the sovereignty of God. God, who provides this fish as his deliverance, is sovereign over all situations. Some people, you know, look at the book of Jonah and say, this particular chapter, I'm not really sure why it should be there. If you look at Jonah as a narrative of a man gets a call from God to go and do something, he doesn't do it, he goes into a ship, the ship puts him in the belly of the whale, God brings him out of the whale, then God speaks to him again, then he goes and does something, then he gets upset because of what's happened. You know, it's quite a simple narrative, 4 chapters, maximum number of verses, I think. Maximum number of verses, I think you're looking at 47 verses. Not a lot of verses in Jonah as a book. Quite a simple book, so why do we need this psalm-like prayer, this cry section? Does it really belong to this story? Could the story be told without it? I don't think it can. Because I think this prayer of Jonah reveals a new dimension, a different dimension to what is effectively quite a simple story. Jonah's prayer is a song of triumph. It's faith in deliverance. It's a song of thankfulness for the provision of safety. No matter what Jonah's sanctuary looks like to him, he is praising God and he is faithful to God in that particular time. As I said to you last week, the book of Jonah is about learning uncomfortable lessons in difficult places. This is an uncomfortable lesson. I'm sure Jonah was sat there thinking, I didn't really need to go through all this, did I? I've really chosen a hard route to get back to a point where I should have been in the first place. How many of us have ever sat there and thought that? I know I have. I know I have thought, I didn't really need to take that different, difficult direction. But God is merciful. Yes, Jonah is overwhelmed by his circumstances, and this prayer of Jonah reveals that. But these circumstances were completely his own making. He can't blame anybody else, can he? He can't say, somebody else made me go in a different direction from God. Somebody else made me go into a boat. Somebody else made me to hide in the boat and try to stay asleep while all this was going on. He can't blame anybody else, because even it was himself who said, throw me over the side. It's all his circumstances. And I'm sure he's overwhelmed and he can't cope with these things. And I'm sure one of the deepest things that he thought about at that moment in time was, am I separated from God by what I've done? Somebody once said to me, you know, in hell the biggest torment that people will pass through will be the torment of recognising that they could have been in a different place. That they could have been saved. That they could have been freed from that. And how many times they'll think about the times they disregarded the message of Jesus, the times that they distracted themselves, the times that they refused to believe it and accept it. Those will be the torments that people will experience. I didn't have to be here. Jonah is definitely in that I didn't have to be here camp, is he? But yet he's turning his focus to God again. Jonah is confined, which means he can't do what he does best, run away. He can't run away from God, can he? He said that God is a difficult travelling companion when you're trying to escape and get away from him, because he doesn't let go of you. He doesn't give up on you either. That's something important that we need to remember and we need to understand. And yet, as I said last week, God chose Jonah to be his mouthpiece to the people of Nineveh. Why? Why not choose somebody better equipped, somebody more faithful, somebody more prepared to go and do what God wanted them to do? But God says, no, I'm choosing Jonah. Just like Jesus chose those disciples who argued, who didn't believe, who gave up, who went backwards instead of going forwards, who denied him. The choices that God makes are not for us to question, but to accept. And if God has chosen you today, if God has his hand upon your life and has directed and steered your life through difficult and dark places, and God has got something for you to do, and you are refusing to do it or looking for somebody else to do it, God is sticking with you. So stick with him. Allow him to make those necessary alignments in your life as well. Don't argue why he's picked you, but go and do what he wants you to do. Simply go and do what he wants you to do. And if that's praying for people, let's get on and start praying for them. If that's encouraging somebody with a phone call or encouraging them with an act, do the encouraging. If that's building people up, let's build people up, as I said to you this morning earlier on. Encourage and build. We are called not to forsake getting together, not to forsake encouraging one another, not to forsake praying for those that are being persecuted. You want to do something? Take a photograph of that picture on that wall of that map. Take it home and start praying about those people that are in those persecuted places. Each day, pick another country if you want. Pray another prayer for a different country. Whatever it is, God is calling us as brothers and sisters to start being effective in his kingdom. God is the major focus of Jonah, because Jonah can't run away from him now. And he recognises, despite his rebellion, despite his defiance, he recognises that God has shown to him merciful, merciful redemption. God has given Jonah a personal taste of the message that he wants him to take to those people of Nineveh. Because Jonah rebelled, and God spared him. And God is now wanting Jonah to go and take this message. And Jonah personally relates to that message. And that's a really good thing if you can personally relate to the gospel message. That's a really good thing, because people that we talk to want to see our personal relationship with Jesus. Because if they don't, it's just words. It's just condemnation. It's just you should be doing. No, this is what I've done, and this is what he did for me, and he can do for you. Those kind of things are more effective. And now God is taking the rebellious, sinful Jonah and showing him, go to a rebellious and sinful people and take the message of my character, because you know it, because I've saved you and I've redeemed you and I've spared you, and I can do all of those things because that's my character, that's who I am. Come back and partner with me in ministry, God is saying here to Jonah, isn't he? Come back to me and partner with me in ministry. I have a bigger heart than you can ever imagine, Jonah, for the people of the world. But Jonah fails to make that connection at this moment in time, does he? Glad as he is to be delivered, he's going to struggle with making that connection. He's going to struggle later on making that connection, but that's for another week. Today, he's glad to rejoice in his own salvation. The Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto the dry land. Bang! Jonah's back up in the same place again, on the dry land, breathing the oxygen, seeing everything around him, light instead of darkness, life instead of a potential tomb. New birth he's been given. And perhaps Jonah is now just a little bit wiser, just a little bit wiser at this stage for all that he's gone through. But God's not finished with him yet. I've got some questions for you before we finish today. The prayer of Jonah today is a telling prayer. It tells God exactly where Jonah is at. It's honest and it's raw. Are your prayers raw and honest before God? Can we learn something from the way that Jonah is praying today when we pray to be more open? How does our open prayers impact upon our coming together and our worship? Are you comfortable enough with your church fellowship to be open and honest with them? As I said to you this week, somebody's had an honest conversation with me because they've started to understand a little bit more perhaps about what God's doing, and they've started to trust a little bit more because I've been open with them. They are also open with me. So being open gives people an opportunity as well to come to you in a bit of openness. We've got to be honest, and we've got to express despair sometimes if that's what we're feeling as well as our praise. What can we learn from Jonah about the promises that we have made to God in our lives? When we gave our lives to Jesus, did we make loads of promises? I'm going to do this for you, Lord. This is now, forget that, I'm telling you, I'm 100% for you now, Lord. Have you ever made those kind of promises, those kind of commitments? Jonah is going, I'm going to get back to the vow and the promises that I've made. What about the promises that you've made to God? Where are you with that? Let's pray. Lord, we sometimes get trapped and overwhelmed by our circumstances that we've created. We sometimes get trapped and overwhelmed by circumstances that we feel we've had no hand in. And yet, we're in despair perhaps, Lord, by those circumstances. Help us to turn our faces and to see you. To remember the great deliverance, as we've remembered in our communion this morning, our great deliverance through Jesus Christ. Help us to live up to those promises that we may have made to you in the past. Help us to focus again upon you rather than being focused upon what we can't do and what we're limited by. Help our limitations, Lord, to grow into opportunities to spend more time with you and to be more open and more honest with you. Help us to be more honest with our fellowship, more raw in our prayers perhaps, Lord. Lord, in the midst of our lives, Lord, you are here with us, and you are going to be with us in every aspect of our lives and our lives that will continue following after you, Lord. And when our lives come to an end, you're going to be there for us, Lord. You're going to be our comfort for our families. You're going to be our provision. You're going to be our eternity, Lord. So help us to start right now to living for you. Thank you for your great deliverance, Lord. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for being our friend. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.